The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into ESPN FC. Kate Murray and Ali Moreno here with you in the studio. We're also joined by Jan Agafyortov and Julien Laron as we will be looking back on some South American World Cup qualifying. In fact, that's where we'll start tonight, by taking a look at the CONMEBOL standings after the latest round of fixtures. Brazil still perfect. And Argentina, they've not lost, but they do have three draws. But they didn't lose their last game against Bolivia. Thanks, Ali. To Lionel Messi, what a ridiculous first goal from him.
What a ridiculous game from Lionel Messi. And I think what you're finding from Lionel Messi now is because he has freed himself up from the pressure of not having performed, at least the perception from people on the outside, not having performed from the national team in a big stage and won a tournament. Now that he's won Copa America, now that Argentina's gone past that and he's gotten past that, all of a sudden, the guy's smiling with the national team. The pressure seems to be off his shoulder. And when you have a Lionel Messi without that sort of pressure, stress-free environment in which he's enjoying himself, guess what's going to happen? He's going to dominate. And he did that and more against Bolivia. His understanding with Lautaro Martinez as well as Angel Di Maria was excellent in the final third. The combinations, the rotation, all the movement going on in the attacking half from Argentina was excellent. And most of all, you see in Lionel Messi an expression. Once he scores a goal, that he's enjoying himself, that there's a smile, and that crowd in Buenos Aires that wasn't so sure about Lionel Messi in the past, all of a sudden, it's Messi, Messi, Messi. Eventually, everybody breaks. You become a fan of Lionel Messi, no matter what you thought of the guy in the past, no matter what he's achieved or not achieved with Argentina in the past. Now, beloved by the Argentinian people, beware if you're in South American qualifiers, because the best version of Lionel Messi is still out there.
Yeah, as you said, very happy, but also crying happy tears as well, Jules. It was very nice to see, wasn't it?
It was, and it was only, what, a third of the River Plate Stadium that was full because of all the COVID restrictions. So you only had, I think, 25,000 instead of three times that. And still, it was very emotional the way they gave him that Copa America trophy, the first one, of course, of his career, like Ali said. And the tears were pouring down even before he got the trophy because the fans were there. And I think that burden, psychologically, that the burden is off, those shackles that, in a way, really heavy to carry before are gone. It's a different Messi in a way. And yeah, the link of play is great between him and Di Maria, and I'm looking forward to that at PSG as well, and Lautaro, all of that. But also Scaloni has found his team now. You can tell the midfield is not going to change too much. Of course, you can have a Lo Celso coming in, and you can have Romero at the back instead of Pezzella, for example. But apart from that, Rodrigo De Paul and Paredes, that works so well with Lautaro and Di Maria and Messi. And you sense that this team is going from strength to strength. And that, of course, it was only Bolivia, no offense, but still, collectively, from what we've seen at the Copa America and until then, and in those two games that they played this month, you see how much they've improved collectively as a team.
Messi's always wonderful to watch, Jan, but a happy Messi, even better, hey?
Well, I love my football history, and sometimes I'm jealous of the people who could see Puskas in the 50s, Di Stefano going into Pelé and so on. And we should be very, very fortunate that we were at the time where the time of Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. And I say that in both ways, even if we talked about Messi. But Messi is the Harry Potter. I've said that about Juninho, as you know, okay? When we played with him in Middlesbrough, Juninho was like a magician. But Messi has done this for years, and it's fantastic to watch him. I hope he enjoys his football. And Al said it good about the Argentinians, because Passarella did it in 78, and then Maradona did it in 86. And he will die for getting that World Cup trophy in Doha in Qatar. But Lionel Messi, he is that magician, and we saw that the other day when he nutmegged and scored that goal, breaking new records, beating Pelé's record in the qualification games, and so on and so on. And it's just, for a football fan, you just sit back and you just hope 2, 3, 4 more years out of this magician.
You know what you see from Lionel Messi is a guy who has exhaled. All of a sudden is, see, the pressure is gone. All of that weight is gone. And a stress-free Messi, huh? A stressful Messi was still very good. A stress-free Messi, imagine. And so it's what we are seeing now. The fact that he's enjoying himself in the manner in which he is, and that he appreciates how hard it was to win a trophy. And now that he has accomplished, he's relishing in this moment, and I think the fans are doing it as well. It's really nice to see that relationship grow between the fans in Argentina and Lionel Messi.
Jan?
I'm just thinking of it. Yes, Al, a good. He won that Copa America very well, but you need to win the World Cup, don't you? After Passarella and Maradona, doesn't he have to win that? I mean, one of the best ever, Lionel Messi, but still, the World Cup is still out there for him to catch?
Well, ideally, you would want to win the World Cup. I'm just saying, this career of Lionel Messi with the national team has been overlooked and overshadowed at times by the name of Maradona, and he's been chasing that. He's been trying to get to that point. And I think it got to him in a way that he just couldn't do enough to be Maradona. Because in so many people's perception in Argentina, Maradona is God. And no matter what you did, you were always going to come up short. And what he has done now is accepted what his place is in the world. He is comfortable with that. He's at peace with that. And winning Copa America certainly allows him to be at peace with himself.
When it comes to winning, you mentioned in the World Cup, but he is the bookies' favourite still to win the Ballon d'Or. Jules, is he the favourite for you?
I think he is. Yeah, he's the favourite. I think Cristiano won't be far at all, certainly in terms of that race to win it. So is Lewandowski, and then there's a few more names. But I think the Copa America in itself, and he had a good season with Barcelona, of course. Let's not forget the performance that he had in the Copa del Rey final, or certainly the 25 minutes that changed the game in that second half, and having to carry that team almost on his own from start to finish in a very difficult context speaks for itself as well, as on top of the Copa America, of course, which is huge. It's big for him, and it's big for a lot of reasons. So yeah, I think he's right up there with Cristiano, let's not forget, who's also had a good season personally in terms of numbers and everything. But yeah, I would think that Messi could win it again.
Does he get your vote, Jan?
No, he doesn't. I mean, he is one of the best players ever. And to put Cristiano Ronaldo in there, and you have a guy who scored 41 goals in the German Bundesliga, and he is the best striker who has been there since Marco van Basten, the best number 9. And just Lionel Messi, I know what we're saying. I love Lionel Messi. I love him. But when we're going to Ballon d'Or, I think that should be on this season. Yes, I see his numbers. I've seen his numbers, and I've seen him getting the Ballon d'Or so many times, him and Cristiano Ronaldo. But my vote will go to Robert Lewandowski.
Ali, you get the deciding.
Oh.
The decider now.
That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Can I withstand the pressure like Lionel Messi can?
Can you?
No, I cannot. Robert Lewandowski. I am going with Lewandowski. And look, we've established the greatness of Lionel Messi, and I'm not going to punish him because he has won the Ballon d'Or so many times before. That's neither here nor there to me. I'm just talking about who is deserving of that trophy and that award this year. And to me, it's Robert Lewandowski, and I'm not going to punish him because he plays for Poland. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that to him, that because he didn't win the Euros, I'm going to punish Robert Lewandowski. No, I am going to pay attention to what he did throughout the course of the season with Bayern Munich, and he deserves to win the Ballon d'Or.
Meanwhile, it seems as though Neymar has been paying a bit too much attention to the critics and some of the criticism that he's come under since returning from the summer. In fact, he posted a picture on his Instagram page saying, Chubby is good at football. He says he's been experiencing all kinds of disrespect, and there have been claims of him being overweight.
Okay.
What do you make of this, Jules?
That's been the story of the last few weeks, Kay. We saw him in Ibiza, really enjoying his holidays, let's put it that way. And we know that in the off season, he usually has a lot of fun and puts on a bit of weight. And he usually loses it when he comes back to preseason and works hard on his fitness, which is what happened again this time. I don't know why he's surprised that he's been criticized for the shape that he came back in after his holidays, because I think there's it's quite fair in a sense that people have been like, oh, look at him. Why is he coming back in that kind of fitness when you see a Messi or Ronaldo or Lewandowski, who we just talked about, who come back from the holidays in the exactly same shape as they left for the holidays, but not him. But I think the point that he was making is, look, okay, maybe I was a bit overweight when I came back, but look at me now. I worked on my fitness. I'm fit again. I think he's still a bit short of match fitness, and we saw that against Peru despite his goal. But I think he wanted to show that, you know, he shed maybe the extra pounds that he got on his holidays, and he's ready to go again. In terms of disrespect, I'm not really sure that's really true. But if he feels that way, I think he was right to express it. And I think now, if he goes on and have a really good season and good numbers and good performances individually and collectively as well with Brazil and PSG, then that would be forgotten. But certainly he felt that too much was made of his weight and what happened in the summer.
Ali, was he right to express it? Because some of the Brazilian journalists think he should just ignore the criticism and not make posts like this.
Well, I don't really care what the media thinks or the Brazilian journalists think. What I would say to Neymar is, why do you even engage? What do you care? You know what you are. You know what kind of shape you came in. You know what kind of shape you're in now. You don't really have to answer to everybody. But the problem is that now, because everything is out there on social media and you feel like you want to have these interactions that, by the way, you're never going to win, discussions that you're never going to win because people are going to keep coming at you if you continue to bite. If I'm Neymar, I rise above all of this and say, hey, people, all of you down there, you can all fight and argue about me. You can all talk about me all you want. I'm just going to go ball it up on Saturday and score a couple of goals. See you guys later.
Okay. Now, I know what Ale thinks of this next topic.
Oh.
It's about the World Cup being played every 2 years. Mm. It's a big fat thumbs down from Ale.
Two thumbs down.
Yeah, two thumbs down.
Boo!
For every 2 years. Where do you stand on it, Jan?
I say that I'm more surprised that people are surprised of FIFA. FIFA got 90% of their income at the World Cup. Wow, breaking news. They want an extra World Cup every second year. I mean, this is, like Jurgen Klopp said today at the press conference, this is all about money, and this is a power battle. And what is also interesting, UEFA got a lot of power because they have the best national teams, except Argentina and Brazil then. And what is interesting also, that for 2 years ago, Comball, like the president, Domingos, he said, no, this is a good idea. Let's have World Cup every second year. Now, 3 years later, he says, now they say, this is a bad idea. This just show you the power battle. The thing that FIFA could win this is the old FIFA rule. This is one nation, one vote. An all small nation, and maybe this is the chance for Norway to get into a World Cup, but I don't think we will vote for this. We will stay with UEFA. I think they should keep World Cup as it is every fourth year. I'm so afraid that they're risking the value, the status of the World Cup doing it every second year. I think this is a silly idea, but do I understand that FIFA says it? Because they want the money. Show me the money!
What do you think about it, Jules?
I don't like it. I'm not for it. I think it devalues the World Cup in itself because what's good is that we have to wait 4 years. And I know if you miss one through injury, then it's a long time for you to take part. Of course, I get that. But I'm not for it. But I think we need to let everybody know it will happen, though. Because like Jan said, 221 countries or FAs are going to vote. And if FIFA play it well, a lot of the small countries are going to vote in favor of it. So I think eventually it will happen. I don't know as early as 2024 when they're going to work again on the international calendar. But I think it's inevitable that it will happen, because if it's a democratic vote like it is, and that's what Wenger said the other day, I think they're going to win it because they're going to make sure that too many of those FAs, especially the smaller ones, who will have more chance of making it to the World Cup, then will vote in favor of it. And Jurgen Klopp and everybody else can say whatever they want. It will be every 2 years, with the Euros every 2 years, the Copa Americas, I guess, every 2 years, the Asia Cup every 2 years, the Gold Cup every 2 years as well, because that is going to mess up everything else. So I think it would be crazy, but I think, unfortunately, I can see it happening.
But they
okay,
need
you can hear him.
No, I'm just saying they need players, and this is the power also of the players. So we'll see. I'm not sure. I'm 100% sure if they put it to a vote at the FIFA, at a big convention, they will get the votes. I think that's right. But I'm not sure it will come to a vote, because if the Europeans stand together, and if now the South American as well, well, Seferin said that. I mean, it's going to be an interesting World Cup without those teams.
Oh, well, you can hear more topics like this on the Gab and Jules podcast. There is no Gab, though, this week. It's
hey!
Matt Hudson is there too.
A Gabless. Gabless podcast.
A lot of talk about Cristiano Ronaldo re-debut this weekend for
so
Manchester
serious.
United.
Breaking it down. Stewie.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Premier League returns to the calendar this weekend. All eyes will be on Cristiano Ronaldo and his re-debut for Manchester United. They take on Newcastle. And just worth knowing that there will be Premier League players from South America and North America in action, because Brazil, Chile, Mexico and Paraguay have agreed to waive the automatic 5-day restriction on the players. So good news there. Shaka joining us too. Good news for us as well. And Jules, good news for you, because you're going to be at Old Trafford for this game. You must be very excited.
I'm so excited, Kerr. It's ridiculous. I mean, I'm not sure how I'm going to sleep tonight, because I've got an early train tomorrow. Because believe it or not, all the trains from London to Manchester were sold out, fully booked, like a couple of weeks ago already, because we knew that that's when Cristiano would make that second debut. He came, obviously, as a kid in 2003, left as a man in 2009, and now he's coming back as a legend. And I think not just in Manchester, but everybody in England and around the world is so excited to see him coming back and that second debut at the club. There's so many questions that we've mentioned a lot already, but where will he play? What will be the formation? What is Solskjaer going to do tactically to adapt, to accommodate Cristiano in that team? But it's just going to be, whether he starts or not, it's going to be extraordinary to be there at Old Trafford and witness that.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting time for you as well, Shaka, given that you conceded his first goal for Manchester United.
Does that mean that if he scores against Newcastle here, we can just put that to bed now, that he will never mention it ever again, Key?
No.
Is that what this means?
No.
Never. Never.
No. Well, then this game doesn't mean anything.
Well, let's talk about it, though, Jan, because Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has said we will see him at some point. Will he start him?
I don't think he will start. I got a feeling that will maybe get on, but you never know. But first of all, I want to congratulate Manchester United. They have now annoyed all fans of all England because they are announced and making photo of him signing 58 times. How many announcements can you do? I love it. And Cristiano Ronaldo back, I think Jules made a good point. He left as a 24-year-old and coming back as a 36-year-old, yes? He has changed. He is another player as well when he's coming back. And I think that the way he can now influence the team is not only by his ability. I think that he can make the people around him better. And I think there is a lot of training session now, and there's some young kids now that will have a look. Imagine Sancho. He hasn't arrived yet at Manchester United, but imagine now with Cristiano Ronaldo, people can say, yeah, he can take his place and we keep him outside the team. Wait, you got 2 years learning from one of the best players in the history of football. That must be the best college you can go to ever. And I hope they will kind of treasure that, because I think that could develop them as football players.
You know who else has changed over the last 12 years, Kay? Xhaka. He's let himself go. That goal by Ronaldo really affected Xhaka, not in a good way.
Xhaka, if you had to take your Newcastle United hat off, would you start Ronaldo?
I'm not sure Ronaldo starts from the opening whistle. I'd maybe introduce him for the last half hour or so. The fans will be chanting his name from the opening whistle, as you'd expect. I just wonder if it's come a little bit too soon after the signing, having to go away on international duty, not really linked up with the team anywhere near as much as he should. But just to echo a lot of the sentiment of what the boys said, I think the Ronaldo signing is big in a number of ways. Not particularly for what he may bring on the field, but more to the point, what he brought off it. I always remember Sir Alex Ferguson talking about the signing of Eric Cantona and how that changed Manchester United and their approach to training in particular. Now, one of the things around this Manchester United, as talented as they are and have been, is you just feel they've lacked the killer instinct. Ronaldo in that dressing room changes how everybody views every single game. Every single point matters. Every single training session matters. What you do away from the training ground matters just as much. That mentality Manchester United have lacked for quite some time, I think he brings that back. That is the most transformative aspect of the Ronaldo signing.
Now, we wait to see whether he will be in the starting 11 for this game. But make sure you join us for extra time. You can do so by checking out ESPN FC page on YouTube every day. It's available there. Today, Ale, Xhaka and Jan will be answering your questions.
Oh, okay. Oh, look at Ian, glowing in vacation. Oh, look at him with a tan.
I'm Alfonso Davies, and this is ESPN FC.
Laid back. There it is. Lewandowski scores.
Follow the Bundesliga right here on ESPN FC.
Haaland! He's a cheat code!
Watch ESPN FC.
It is the best goal ever.
On ESPN Plus.
All the Bundesliga action returning for match day 4 on ESPN Plus, but all eyes will be drawn to the big game between Leipzig and Bayern Munich. Jan is still with us. Archie Rintut is joining the show now. He'll actually be in Leipzig for this game, but he's got one of my favourite parts when it comes to Bundesliga talk. A look at the papers. Archie, do your stuff.
Indeed. Well, the main one you've got to look at is Kicker Magazine, which we got here. And as you can see, it's looking at the return, and that is mainly of this guy here, Julian Nagelsmann, who we all know, coach of Bayern Munich, but also Marcel Sabitzer, who will do well to get a start over Leon Goretzka and Joshua Kimmich in the centre of midfield. But as Julian Nagelsmann says, he's able to play anywhere in the attacking positions for Bayern. He even played up front for Austria recently. And then down here, you've got Deo Upamecano, who moved for €42 million to Bayern from Leipzig in the summer. There's been talk about the reception that Julian Nagelsmann is going to get in Leipzig, because just after he'd agreed a deal to go from Leipzig to Bayern, from second to first place in the league, he said that he wouldn't be taking a camper van and in the back trailer having one or two players with him. Now, what has happened since then is that he's taken several members of staff who came with him, as he points out, but then also Marcel Sabitzer has joined. I believe that the Upamecano deal was already confirmed at that point. So he's been called a baron of lies here, and he has disputed that, which I think is fair, because he was trying to calm he was trying to calm the waters a little bit, and he didn't quite know what would be the fallout from his move. But he could have probably chosen his words a little more wisely than he did.
Yeah, I am assuming so. I wonder if there will be a camper van parked outside. Jan, what type of reception do you think he'll receive?
Well, I hopefully he will be booed, and hopefully they will not clap for him. Of course not. He's left the challenger to the championship. And I mean, this is normal in other countries. Can you imagine if Jurgen Klopp left Liverpool to Manchester United, who have won the championship? Do you think that he will get a great reception at Anfield? So RB Leipzig should certainly not give him a good reception. And the last week, he took in a mental coach as well from there. So now we have a mental help if something happened to him. And just to make it even worse from Archie's point of view, and with everything, Bayern Munich tried to speak to Leimer, the midfield player, as well. And it's a typical tactic and strategy of Bayern Munich. This is what they like. This what they love, to make a bit unrest by their opposition. So great game in Leipzig. Hopefully Leipzig will not give him a good reception, then show they are a real football club.
It's been a bit of an up and down start though for Leipzig, hasn't it, Archie? What is being expected of them in this game?
Well, Jesse Marsch has been quite vocal in training this week about his players being more vocal. I can't repeat the exact phrase that he used, but he's wanting more from, he's certainly wanting more commitment, I would say, from his players to his ideas. They've seemed in their two away games against Mainz and Wolfsburg just like they've hit a bit of a block, and it's not been what you would expect of this Leipzig side, which has so much attacking talent in it. And part of the problem that Jesse Marsch has is, how does he fit all of these players into one team? He's going to have some even bigger selection headaches if they keep on not picking up points. They do have an easier run after they face Bayern, but it's a big opportunity for them to lay down a marker and say that even after Julian Nagelsmann is gone, there is still something about us as a team.
But speaking about having something about them as a team, Bayern last time out, Jan, looked unstoppable.
Yeah, they are amazing. And I saw them live in Dortmund in a game when they won the Super Cup. And there is something about them. We talk about them. They don't have the depth maybe in their squad. And again, Sabitzer in, who's seen as a number 12, 13, 14th man in the squad. And I rate Sabitzer, but still. But their first 11 is amazing. And when they get going, as they do, with a great balance in the team with Goretzka and Kimmich, they look not so vulnerable at the back as well. So this is all about confidence and culture. And I think that you have tomorrow in that game, you have one culture that Nagelsmann and Ragnik and all of them try to come there, and then they kind of pick Jesse Marsch coming in to maintain and develop that culture. But Bayern, they will still come with a lot of half knocks from the national games, national players coming back, and some German players was lost in Edinburgh on their way back to Germany. So maybe this is a good time for Leipzig and a good way for Jesse Marsch, as also Adi Hütter was in the first game. Remember when Gladbach had a good game against Bayern Munich, kind of should make their season, didn't work out for Gladbach though. But for Jesse Marsch to kind of have a great game against Bayern could give him a restart in his career in the German Bundesliga.
As for great games for Bayern, Jamal Musiala, Archie, is looking absolutely brilliant of late.
He is. And when you just look at him as a figure, you just don't expect him to have all these explosive qualities that he does have. He kind of looks a bit like Bambi to me. He doesn't look like he's going to hurt anyone. But then he turns it on and you're like, oh, okay, Bambi's got a weapon. And he's able to just dribble through players at will. He's able to pick passes at the right time. And he so often is coming up in key moments for his team, whether it was for Germany against Liechtenstein, when the game's at 0-0 and approaching halftime. I think back to the Euros as well, when Germany looked like they were going to crash out in embarrassing circumstances against Hungary. Or to this fixture at the Allianz Arena last season, when I think Musiala really announced himself coming on and changing the course of the game against his now coach, Julian Nagelsmann. So he's a very exciting player. And the fact that he's keeping out of the team right now, Leroy Sané, who cost Bayern 50 million or so, that tells you the qualities that he has.
As you speak about Sané as well, Sané came on in that last game that they played against Hertha, Jan, and then we saw him on international duty. Perhaps we're actually seeing what he can offer and that things will be OK with Sané.
I'm a big fan of Leroy Sané. I think he's a cool guy. I think that he's brilliant that we have those kind of players in there. And then sometimes his body language is like a Özil wannabe, you know, when they're a bit out of form, it looks like he doesn't want to play there. But I agree with you, Kay. At the international stage, you know, it looked like he was getting back his confidence. And there was also this thing that happened at Allianz Arena when they booed him at the stadium, took a bit confidence away from him. But also, Julian Nagelsmann and Hansi Flick, he got too grown up, although they're young, at least Nagelsmann is young, but they have good people around him and they will build him up. And it's going to be an interesting thing to wait for this now. With Leroy Sané or Musiala, they got so many options going forward. I'm seeing who will play tomorrow.
OK, well, let's talk about the game between Leverkusen and Dortmund, because this is Christian Vieri talking about Erling Haaland. Let me tell you a little about what he said. He said, I played with Adriano when he was 20 years old, but the Brazilian wasn't as strong as Haaland. I've not seen anyone in the last 20 to 30 years as good in the centre forward role. Perhaps not even Van Basten was that good at age 20. What do you think of Vieri's comments here, Jan?
Well, I think he's got a good point with Van Basten, because I checked out Van Basten when he was 20, only scored 9 goals a season for Ajax, and then he exploded. But Vieri is right, and it's good that Vieri make that comment, because maybe some young listeners or viewers, they don't remember Vieri, but he was that kind of player. And I saw him on Tuesday for Norway, got his hat-trick again. A second hat-trick, he's scored now 12 in 15 games for Norway, and he's just going forward and developing all the time. He's a massive striker, getting stronger and stronger. Having said that, I think that Dortmund will have big trouble against Leverkusen this weekend.
Why?
Because Leverkusen is a team that impressed me. Leverkusen is a team that wants to go away from this grey mouse kind of image, being the Werks club, a club from the factory doing different medicines. And they have a new plan now. And I thought it was so great. Simon Rolfes, the new head of sports, say, we make a 4-year plan now. We're going to win the Bundesliga in 4 years. I like that kind of idea. And the new coach is a good coach. Some young talents there. And I think that Dortmund at the back, very vulnerable. I think that could be some kind of surprise this weekend that Dortmund will be beaten.
What about you, Archie? Do you think Dortmund are in trouble too?
I do. As Jan points out, at the back so far, they are vulnerable. They've conceded at least 2 in all of their games so far. And with Mats Hummels coming back, I'm not sure what condition he's going to be in. I just think that going forward, Erling Haaland has proven himself, and you see just how much difficulty defenders have knowing where to stand against him. If they back off too much, he might find a pass behind them. If they go towards him too much, he might dribble past them. So how Leverkusen defend against him, I think, is going to be an interesting option. But just what Leverkusen have going for themselves right now, particularly, I like the look of Ezequiel Palacios against Borussia Mönchengladbach a few weeks ago. Just thinking about him and Jude Bellingham going up against each other in midfield tomorrow is something I'm licking my lips over. But also, how will Dortmund handle Patrick Schick and his meaty biceps, as he's been showing in his celebrations? He is looking really strong in several senses right now. So it promises goals. It cannot be 0-0.
No, and biceps, I mean, that's any reason to watch, isn't it? Loads to watch out for this weekend in the Bundesliga. Two big games there that we've talked about and more available on ESPN Plus. And when we are talking about that game between Leipzig and Bayern, well, make sure that you check Football America's out this week, because Leipzig coach Jesse Marsch sat down with us for an interview. You can catch it on Monday's edition. And for the full 28-minute interview, check out their show's podcast online, which is where our show's podcast also lives as well. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Napoli Juve hits the calendar for match day 3 of the Serie A, and a lot to talk about with this game. We have Gab Marcotti joining us now to discuss. Massive game for Juve after their results before the break, Gab.
Yeah, obviously it's the post-Ronaldo era. It's a big game. It's away to Napoli. Napoli will have some key men out in midfield like Zielinski, but Juve are really kind of running on fumes in terms of availability. All the South Americans are going to be out. That means no Cuadrado, no Dybala, no Danilo, no Alexandro. Chiesa, of course, is injured as well. Looks like it's going to be Kulusevski up front with Morata and Bernardeschi. Moisken only making the bench.
And the news is from Allegri that Weston McKennie will play, right, Gab?
Well, it's either Weston McKennie or Aaron Ramsey right now who will play, but it does look like McKennie, certainly most people have him in their starting lineups. Obviously, he was sent home early after his multiple COVID protocol breaking incidents. I think Juventus view this as, well, A, he's a live body, and you know they do have a bunch of people out. But more to the point, I think the club trust in the fact that, hey, look, you're back. You screwed up again. Now show us you belong here. You know, we're going to give you the time on the pitch so that you can show that, you know, you're a pro. You want to be here. You want to behave in the right way, and that he be given another chance straight away.
Right decision if he does start for Juve, Ale?
Well, it's the only decision given the absences. I have to believe that if Allegri had everybody available to him, that he could also make a point to Weston McKennie, is that this behavior will not be allowed, and you're a repeat offender, and we're not going to have any of this. But because you don't have anybody available, you say to him, hey, get out there and prove it to us. It's more of a necessity than anything else for Allegri and Juventus.
Meanwhile, for Napoli, Victor Osimhen's going to feature, right, Gab?
Yeah, that's a big one. Obviously, his ban was overturned. Osimhen, so important for the way Napoli want to play, and I think ready to have a breakout season in Serie A. So that's great news for them. And, you know, I think also psychologically, also given what happened last season when their defeat pretty much handed fourth spot to Juventus, this really means a lot for all those Napoli fans out there.
Meanwhile, there's been what seems like a bit of fighting talk from Alexander Seferin, the UEFA president, who says, I wouldn't mind seeing Juventus, Real Madrid and Barcelona leave UEFA. These people tried to kill football with their incompetent directors. Florentino Perez claims saying his club can only survive with the Super League and then offers 180 million euros to sign Kylian Mbappe. Jan, you are all fired up about this. Why?
Well, first of all, I think Seferin has a point. Perez is doing some, for those of you who remember him, I think that sometimes he looks like Benny Hill when he's doing his strategic things that he's saying and wanting and everything. But on the other hand, I will also say to Seferin, sometimes your newly promoted democratic leader of the free world is not very good when we see you, because this is also a power battle for UEFA, and they have now taken away the Super League, but still PSG, Chelsea, Manchester City are the Super Leagues using all those kind of money in there. So calm down a bit, because we will see what the end will be here. Yes, the Super League is gone, but the system we're doing at the moment is not perfect, and somehow we have to try to get all these clubs back. I remember the time when UEFA said, we got a system that is so good, we have to try that out. Financial fair play, what happened to that? So sometimes UEFA, those kind of organizations, when they get one good hand, just don't try to show that to everybody every time you play that hand.
It's quite a statement, isn't it, Jules, from Seferin?
It is, and it's not the first one, and maybe not the last one, although I think you should let go now. This is, that little war of words has to stop, because I think you should be above that, it should be bigger. We know what happened with the Super League, but that was, again, that was quite a while ago now, a few months ago for sure, and I think he's got more important things to do now and to focus on than having to have a go every time at Agnelli or Perez or Laporta or Bartomeu from before, and I think he should focus on what's important right now at UEFA, whether it's with the Champions League or with the countries and the FAs and all of that.
Racism.
Instead of having a dig every time again, because you could do it every day. I mean, you can always find something to say against Florentino Perez and some of the stuff that he says or he does, and same, I guess, with the others. But I think it would be the right time now for Seferin to just move on from what happened before and that sort of little war that he's engaged with them.
It's a very good point, Kay. I just want to say that we have every time national teams go to East Europe or some other countries as well, not only East Europe, there is racism. I never hear UEFA do anything. They give them a fine of 50 euros. You know? And they can't even agree with FIFA what they're doing with the Hungarians when FIFA World Qualification or Euro Qualification, and people say, what is it all about? But money, and Agnelli, his former friend that was his best mate, I guess, in a wedding, then he doing his easy shot. So please start handling the big issues now in football world, like racism. Please start there.
Yeah, obviously no longer such good buds, those two. We will be talking about Juventus's performance against Napoli on tomorrow's show. Make sure you join us for that.
Tension palpable, there is much on the line.
La Liga, stream every match on ESPN Plus.
Round four of La Liga coming up, every single match available on ESPN+. There are a couple of postponements, Sevilla against Barcelona and Villarreal against Alaves due to the recent international action. But all eyes on Real Madrid against Celta Vigo, because Real Madrid are finally back at the Santiago Bernabeu. And outside the stadium is our Alexis Nunes, who is in Madrid right now. There must be so much excitement, Alexis, with it reopening.
There definitely is an extra buzz in this side of the city, Kay. They must have known it was your birthday, because after 560 days, football is returning to the Santiago Bernabeu, a new-look Santiago Bernabeu. I don't know if you can tell much behind me, but there's still a lot of work that needs to be done. I know that they keep reminding people that the full finished product and the full new Santiago Bernabeu won't be unveiled until at least the end of next year or early 2023, but they've done everything possible to get ready the inside for the match this Sunday. They laid the pitch out earlier this week. You know, they've had workers working for 24 hours in shifts of three just to get Sunday ready. And then, of course, the last thing that they had to do, I think, today was pretty much to lay out the benches or the seats in the dugout. I mean, it's 1 a.m. here in Madrid, and there are still workers working inside and walking around here. So it's definitely going to be something super spectacular.
Are you talking about the buzz there in Madrid? What's the buzz been on young Eduardo Camavinga after he was unveiled there?
Well, interesting story that, actually, because we're, our hotel is just about 5 minutes away from the Bernabeu, and our own producer, Freddie, he got to see Camavinga in our hotel having breakfast this morning. I opted out of breakfast because, you know me, I do love a lion. There's people, of course, screaming out to their cars here at 1 a.m. because, like I said, they're all stopping and, you know, having a look at the Bernabeu behind us to see how things are coming on. But Camavinga, right in our hotel, kind of just chilling, having breakfast, enjoying the sights. Kids were running up to him, you know, trying to get pictures and selfies and signatures. There's also a lot more people we've noticed, at least today, in our hotel walking around with little Real Madrid gift bags, having gone to the new mega store that's here, probably hoping that they'll see one or two more of the new players. But Camavinga, everyone's wondering if he's going to play on Sunday against Celta Vigo, because of course we know the whole fiasco with some of the CONMEBOL qualifiers, especially the fiasco with the Brazilian qualifiers, and now with probably some of them tired from the trip from South America, maybe it might mean that he could come either off the bench or maybe even start. Time will tell.
Alexis, we're also going to be hearing from you tomorrow because Athletic take on Mallorca. We're very much looking forward to that one. I do just want to know quickly, though, before we tell everybody how they can watch that, did our producer Freddie get a selfie with Camavinga?
No, you know our producer, Freddie, he's too cool for school. He was ever the professional. He didn't want a selfie with Camavinga, but we'll see. We'll see, because, you know, the week is still young and there's some more big players coming up. I know we were talking about some interviews that we'll get. Antoine Griezmann is definitely on our list, so we will see if Freddie wants one then. Or we'll see if, you know, that means we'll have to fly over the one, the only, the Frenchman that we all know and love, Julien Laurent, so they can have a little French connection there to do it.
Yeah, you guys enjoy Madrid. 1 a.m. in Madrid is like 7 p.m. Okay. Pretty much everywhere else in the world. The night is just beginning, so make sure you guys enjoy it. But do get some rest, because we do want to hear more from you tomorrow.
By the way, producer Freddie getting a full-on shout-out today in the show.
Of course. Oh, man. He deserves it. He deserves it, trust
Apparently.
Me.
Apparently.
Anyway, yes, we will be back with all the action. Athletic Club taking on Mallorca. Coverage for that one begins at 2:30 Eastern.
I'm calling that game,
and
Kay.
And there is, yes, a very special man on the call for that game, Alejandro Moreno.
Hey, hey.
With
Fernando Palomo.
With
hey,
Fernando Palomo. Very nice. Make sure you catch that and make sure you catch the preview for it too. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But thank you so much for being with me, Ali, and the rest of the team today. If you do stick around, we'll be back with you for extra time.
Hey!
Yeah, so stay right where you are. Back in a minute. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Kay Murray, Ali Moreno, Yanaga Fyotov, and also Shaka Hislop with you. Before we start, I just wondered, Yan, if you'd been listening to Paul Simon's Graceland before we came on, because you keep calling Al tonight.
Oh, that's fine. I'll take that.
I love Al. I love Al. I used to call him Muppet, and now I call him Al.
It's an upgrade.
Yeah.
Well, yes, it is.
I can call you Betty, and Betty, when you call me, you can call me Al. All right, let's get started then with your questions. First up, with Kay Murray celebrating her birthday, what would she wish for? England winning Qatar 2022 or her favourite clubs having successful times?
Wait, when is your birthday?
Today.
Oh, well.
Oh, happy birthday, to
happy,
happy birthday to you.
Look at her. And you're spending it with us?
Don't say Yan. Don't say Yan. Don't.
Yeah. With us, Kay?
Yeah, no better place to spend it, Ali. Trust me.
Well, no, there are better places. Let me tell you, you don't want to be with Shaq on a birthday.
25 right. years of age. What a great age.
25 years plus a little bit of VAT. And yes, you pretty much hit the nail on the head there. All right, I'm going to say this one quickly.
No, he didn't.
Sorry about this, Jan, but to say that I've seen more success with Middlesbrough is saying something. So I've seen them win a League Cup. I've seen them gain promotion more than once. So I'd like to see England win the World Cup in my lifetime.
No. You're just political now. You want to see, be honest, Kate, be honest. Will you want to see Middlesbrough win the Premier League or England win the World Cup? And be honest now, on your birthday, you got kids, my friend.
Oh, well, now you put all the pressure on me. Uh-huh. It was just, the question was just such
no,
so give me an answer.
Here's the truth, Here's the truth, Jan. There is no genie in the world that can bring Middlesbrough success. There's a genie that might see England win a World Cup, but there is no genie can grant that wish.
Yeah, he's talking about all that success that Newcastle have had, right?
Yeah. I remember the time Newcastle won. That was before the Second World War. Winston Churchill was at the stadium.
You know what's amazing?
I'm just saying.
You talk about Middlesbrough as their successful times in terms of being promoted. You do know that if you're going to be promoted, that means that at some point you were relegated.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I've been through that.
So, I'm not...
It's her birthday.
That keeps us modest. That keeps us level-headed and down to earth. Right. You know, we're used to disappointment. All right, to answer that one, Jan, I would like to be able to step foot back in my hometown at some point for Middlesbrough winning the Premier League.
Okay.
All right, next one for you, Jan. Kunal Sanchez. Jan was spot on with his Euro predictions. So which country would he pick as winner for the World Cup next year, and also dark horse and disappointment?
Oh, wow.
Oh, that is a tough... I will stick to Brazil. And I will also say that Hansi Flick will somehow find a way to make Germany competitive again, so they could be a challenger. And the big disappointment will be Brazil.
I'm sorry, you just said Brazil was going to win it.
Going to win it, and it's going to be the biggest disappointment too.
Oh, I said Italy as winner. Sorry.
I thought you said Brazil.
No.
Okay.
And then Germany as a dark horse, and then Brazil as the disappointment.
Okay.
It is late in Norway.
There is no world, this one or another, in which Germany would ever be considered a dark horse. It's just not. No chance.
What do you mean?
Well, they're not a dark horse. It's one of the major teams around the world. So if they win the World Cup, you don't say, oh my goodness, where did this come from?
Have you seen the last tournaments, or have you just listened to it on the radio? Have you seen Germany since 2018?
Oh, yes.
Germany can't be a dark horse.
Oh, yes. They're not a dark horse.
Dark horse is a team that
comes from out of nowhere.
And you talk about 2018 with years and years and years ago.
Germany can be a failure, they can be a disappointment, but they cannot be a dark horse. They can't.
So lost in translation, let's talk about that now for 5 minutes, please.
Okay. Hey, that's all right. You're the same person that picked Brazil as the winner and the disappointment, the same answer, so.
You did, Jan.
Okay, sorry.
All right, we'll give you a little bit of time because the next one is from Alejandro Moreno's biggest fan.
Oh, hey!
Told you we'd get on.
Who is that? Who is
that's all right. I know. He's going to have a war with himself.
Who are you?
We just let anybody on the show all of a sudden.
Ale, I watched some of your highlights. You used to score some good headers. Can you share some knowledge about hitting good headers, since I can't ask Cristiano himself, PSG?
Okay.
Hold on. This has got to be Ali's burner account. There is nobody else would put that question out there.
Now, Shaka, did you see the part in which there is a comparison between Cristiano and myself in the same question? That's amazing.
That is reason to be banned from Twitter. That alone is reason to be banned from Twitter.
Oh.
Who would score a better tap-in, you or Cristiano?
Oh, let me tell you something. I can score some tap-ins. I am deadly. 2 yards, deadly. Deadly. I'm going to tell you something. I can score a tap-in with the best of them.
What about the question?
I wasn't a leaper like Cristiano, but I did time my runs well. That's why I was able to win the headers, not because I was taller than everybody else or could jump higher than everybody else. It was about timing.
Timing, and it's perfect timing for this question next for you, Shaka, from Stevie Nickelback, who says, Have you seen Ronaldo's interview at Old Trafford that came out yesterday? He remembers and explains his first goal at the club. However, he doesn't remember who the goalkeeper was. How do you feel about that, Shaka?
Well, it's not the first time I've been called forgettable. First time by Ronaldo, maybe. But yeah, it's about par for the course. That man owes me a lot. Ronaldo owes me a lot.
And Zlatan's bookie did the same thing, didn't he, Shaka?
Yeah, he forgot my name as well then, too. Yeah.
So, how did he refer to you in the book, Shaq? That goalkeeper?
I can't remember.
The goalie.
Yeah, the goalkeeper. I'm forgettable. Yeah.
All right. Jan, Will Sines asks, with the new Atletico Madrid movie on Amazon, what are your thoughts on cameras around a team during a season for a documentary? Do you think it helps or hurts?
Hurts. I think it's fantastic entertainment. I love it to see behind the scenes, but I'm not sure that I like it. And I know I've been part of that with our Norwegian national team when I was the manager there, but I didn't 100% like it. And you had to find room and space where you had talks that you didn't want to get on it. But as a football fan, I do love it. I think the documentaries done by things like that is brilliant. Diego Simeone in an Amazon documentary. Oh, I'm looking forward to that. That was going to be fantastic.
It's surprising, though, that Simeone allows this to happen. Of all the managers around the world that you would think would give you access, Simeone would not be at top of that list. Would think that he would be the one pushing back and saying, no, I don't want any part of this. Don't touch my team. My team is mine. This is my group. You have nothing to do with this, and that you wouldn't get the access that you would want. But apparently, Simeone is saying, let's go.
But it's interesting with Diego Simeone when he's on the line, he is like he is unbelievable. All this passion when he's off the pitch, he's a quite calm man. So I'm not sure that he's calm in the dressing room somehow. But in a mix zone, for example, when we're doing interviews, he's the nicest, polite, calmest manager there is around.
Well, it's going to be an interesting documentary to watch. All right, next for you, LA, is Chiesa the best winger in the world right now? And if not, who is?
Oh, goodness.
Oh, good question.
It is a good question. And I would suggest that when he's healthy and playing sort of that wing-back position in the attacking half, that, yes, Chiesa is one of the few guys around the world that you can bank on the fact that he's going to take a player on, and more than likely he's going to beat that player. You don't see many of those guys around anymore. And so I would suggest that, since Chiesa playing for Italy, the success that he had in the Euros, yes, why not? The best wing right now.
I wonder if Jan wants to come in and tell us someone in the Bundesliga who's the best winger in the world right now.
No, I was thinking of that because sometimes it's hard to define positions now in football. When I used to play, we had 4-4-2, 4-3-3, and you have them in special position. I think that the best winger in Germany now, as you ask, if we define Serge Gnabry as a winger, I love him at the moment, but I'm not sure that I will do him as a winger because he's also half a striker, but he's on fire at the moment.
I hear Shaka laughing in the background there. Hmm? Were you laughing in the background there, Shaka?
I forget the name of that guy. I forget the name of that goalkeeper we have from Newcastle on. What's his name again?
That's mean.
With a little bit more final product, I would also bring Vinicius Jr. into this conversation.
Okay. And there's going to be... Raleigh, of all the footballers you've watched play in, which one had the most potential or highest ceiling but didn't fulfill them and was the biggest disappointment?
Wow.
Ooh.
You're being baited.
Wow.
At you.
Wow. Of all the footballers you've watched playing.
Jack Wilshere?
Well, yeah, that's a good one. Jack Wilshere. Bang.
I've got one.
A lot of Arsenal players, too. Go ahead, Shaq.
Freddy Adu.
No, and there it is. Wow. See, I knew Shaq was going to bring perspective to this. Freddy Adu, at one point, for those people that are not familiar with the name, and you should be, he was the next. I mean, he was the hope for American soccer. He was going to be the guy that would turn this game around in this country and would make it grow to length that we had never seen. He was supposed to be the Tiger Woods of soccer in this country.
Mm-hmm.
That actually happened. It actually, all everything that he was supposed to be, he sort of believed and did not come even close to achieving the goals. He became a journeyman, and who knows what he's doing now.
Yeah, it's actually worth a listen to the podcast that Grant Well did with him if you are interested in knowing more about the Freddy Adu story. Jan, do you have anyone to say on this one? Anyone else?
No, I put in Jack Wilshere, and I think there was a story a couple of weeks ago. It was really a bit sad because he's struggling a bit, and at his time at Arsenal, he said to leave Arsenal was a big mistake. And you have those kind of player, and we've talked about McKennie now at Juventus, and you sometimes, I'm not saying that he can still be a great player and all that kind of things, but someday when you are 35, 36, 37, to look back on your career and think, I didn't do enough. And there's a lot of players, and I play with a lot of them, they don't do enough. I played in England for 6 years, and there were people there trying harder to get their put right in golf than being after the training to try to do their finishing right. And I think that when they're now sitting in a pub somewhere, too fat, they are regretting those times.
I think the common denominator for all these players that we can bring up is too much, too soon. Everything was given to them very early on, and they got complacent and never really took that next step, never really took that jump that the career was supposed to take.
All right, let's move on to the next one. I'll ask all of you. I'll start with you, Shaka. What formation do you think suits Manchester United best with their current roster?
4-2-1-3.
Oh.
Okay. All right.
All right.
And who's going to play it, Shaq? You can't just throw names out there. I mean, numbers.
And you didn't sing.
Okay. Well, I was asked a very simple question. What's the best formation? I answered the question as it was asked.
All right, Jan.
Now, I think that with the players, and we haven't talked a lot about that, this would put a lot of pressure also on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. You got Sancho, you got Varane, and now we got Cristiano Ronaldo. It's not easy to even come with a new second place or losing a final now for Ole Gunnar. I think that what is the big thing now when you get a player like Cristiano Ronaldo in, and instead to make the numbers, and Xhaka did that. But I would think that Solskjaer will do a sheet of paper and he will put Cristiano Ronaldo, and then he would start putting players in and around him. He left as a more or less a winger, somehow a winger, and comes back as a striker, a somehow fantastic number nine, but still different kind of number nine. So it's going to be interesting to see how he mixes his team. It's going to be interesting to see where will he put Greenwood? Sir Alex Ferguson said now he's the most promising young player he's ever seen for many, many, many years. So it's going to be interesting now with how Ole Gunnar put this together. He has to play Cristiano Ronaldo. He has to get him goals and so on. So it's going to be very challenging time for Solskjaer with a great team like this.
Shaq has gone fancy, by the way. 4-2-1-3. I mean, well, it's a 4-3-3. We get out of there just as well, Shaq.
No,
4-2-1.
I'm not gonna lie. I lost count halfway through. I was like, ooh, I'm not sure how many players I've got.
There it is. I knew it. There it is.
I had a coach, Kay. I had a coach at Frankfurt who called Jörg Berger. And when he was the manager in Switzerland, he once made up his team, and there were 12 players in the team. He played a 4-4-3 system. So Shaka was nearly there.
Oh no, I'm going with Shaka's 4-2-1-3, maybe.
It's so hipster. Like somebody that they're so hipster, you almost don't know who they are.
Yeah.
And you might just forget their name because they're so underground.
Yes.
And so hipster. That's where we'll end tonight's extra time. But thank you so much for your questions.
I expect better from you, Kay. I expect that from those two, but not from you.
You get my rap.
They're down here, you're up here.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Nobody
happy birthday,
the radar like Shaka.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.